All right, and then here goes the intro music, and then we'll be getting started.
Welcome to Waypoint Real Talk, where we discuss real estate and your home. Let's get started with your hosts, Aaron Shishilla and Austin Hunt.
We used to dance at this part. Guess we should bring that back for this one.
Cool.
Hello, everyone. My name is Aaron with Waypoint Real Talk, and today we have an awesome podcast talking about how to get top dollar for your home. Today we have an awesome guest with Liz Heinkel with Coastal Real Estate Properties. Coastal Real Estate Properties Group.
Coastal Properties.
Coastal Properties.
International.
International Group. Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Aaron, and thank you for having me today on the podcast. I am a residential realtor in beautiful downtown St. Pete, and I also live and work on the island of Tierra Verde, which is nearby St. Petersburg. Been working in the St. Pete, Tierra Verde area for the last 8 years, and prior to that, I lived in Orlando with my husband and family.
Nice. So you started, what is that, 2012?
Yes, 2012. But I've had prior experience in other parts of, like back home in Mississippi, I was a realtor too.
Oh, really?
Second time around.
Nice. Cool. Mm-hmm. So now you're in St. Petersburg in Clearwater
yes.
area.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen your posts on Instagram, and you're absolutely kicking butt from what I see.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's really awesome. But today we're talking about how you help your clients get top dollar for their home, right? And it's
right.
all about staging the home properly, what they can do to prepare to bring their home on the market. Is that correct?
Yes. Nowadays, especially with HGTV, it's important to plan your listing. Don't just throw your home on the market with a few pictures. Even though the market's hot, you want to get top dollar for your home. And to do that, it's important to declutter, depersonalize, and stage your home as if you are the buyer going into your home, looking to buy your home. Would you buy your home again?
With what I've done to it, probably not. Okay, so let's get into some of your tips. And even with, you know, today's market, you're saying to get the top dollar in today's market, you can do some of these items to prepare mm-hmm. your home for getting on. So what right now is going on with home staging? What do you typically see? What do you typically recommend immediately out of the gate?
Immediately out of the gate, you need to declutter and depersonalize. A lot of people accumulate a lot of stuff. It's the fabric of their life. As their family grows, they add more items and things. And when you're staging, you start with the basics, cleaning out the closets and the drawers and pulling out that extra chair that's kind of crowds and clutters a room. You have to be able to have better flow in your house. Once you get that done, then you also have to start from the sidewalk looking at the front elevation of your house, because the front of your home is the first impression on the MLS. When you look at Zillow, Realtor.com, what do you see first? You see the front elevation of the house. So if you have your kids' toys strewn out in the front of the house, or you have dead plants, that's what people are going to see first. So clean up your yard, resod areas that are brown patches, plant new pretty flowers. If your house is a bold color, you may consider painting. It's a simple fix. Making the front porch or right where the door is attractive by putting maybe a pot of plants or a water feature is a nice touch as well before you walk into the house. And then once you get into the house, then that's where the, if it's very, you have clean lines, you want clean lines. And even though the market's hot, if you want your house to sell quickly, you want to make sure that you stage it properly.
So with depersonalization and taking, for example, taking, you mentioned taking down family pictures.
Yes.
Right. Why does that, those things like make that difference for those buyers coming in? What do they see in there that, that just makes the difference? And I want to buy this house and pay a little bit more in comparison to something else.
That's a good question, Aaron. When, in my experience, when if we all as families have, we put pictures of our families all over the place, and typically I see a wall of family members. What happens is a buyer comes in and they start looking at all your family photos and all your artwork, and they're not looking at the home and how they can see themselves living in your home. So it's as much as you don't want to take down your family photos and put away this really neat piece of art that you bought at the last art fair, it's important to do that. Your psychological mindset as a seller has to be to the next chapter of your life or to the next home. I've even had, especially younger families with kids and dogs, move out because for them it was too hard to continue to live their life and raise kids and their family living in the home when you're constantly trying to show their home.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. And I like what you mentioned there specifically. The buyer walks in and they can't see themselves in the home. They see the other seller living in the home. So it's really hard for them to envision themselves being there and saying, oh, this is a really good fit for me. Moving on, what's the biggest challenge you face in listing a property? So you have these recommendations. You still, even with today's market, you recommend that people are doing these additions to their home to get it for a top dollar. What are some of the biggest challenges you face?
That's a good question. It's getting better, but the biggest challenge that I face is getting the seller on board, especially in a hot market. They think that they can just put it on the market and it'll sell in a week. But the homes that sell in a week are the homes that are that where the photos, the first foray or entry into their home is through Realtor.com, the MLS, Zillow, and it's the photos.
Mm-hmm.
So if the homes that are selling in a nanosecond are usually the homes that look just as pristine and clean and move-in ready. That's continuing to be the term. Everybody wants move-in ready. Well, then paint your child's pink bedroom a neutral color. Take all of the stuffed animals and put them in the closet. And make her room and put a white comforter on her bed to neutralize that room. And do that with the rest of the house.
So talking about first impressions, you mentioned color, neutral colors. Now you have here specifically Tuscan tans and golds. Now is the time to lighten and brighten with whites and grays. So you mentioned painting those pink colors. What's the next step after they maybe neutralize some of the colors?
Scaling back the furniture in the rooms. What I find is a lot of people over, even myself, you know, my husband can't part with his great-grandmother's secretary, so it's stuck in my office in the corner, and one of my friends came over this past weekend who's an interior designer, and she goes, you need to get that that secretary out of there. This is really crowding this room. So it's the overcrowding of rooms. Pull things out. And if you do not want to spend the money to get a pod mm-hmm. or a storage unit, then put it in your garage. Stack things, start boxing things up, even include your kids. If you have children, have your children help to box up their things and make it an adventure as far as moving, make moving an adventure and fun. You can make it fun. You don't have to make it a drudgery to make your house. And then what happens, which is kind of funny, is you go in and you get the seller to clean and declutter and reorganize the furniture so that the flow of the house is better. And then they start rethinking whether they want to move or not. That happens.
It's funny how that works. I think a lot of ways, humans in general, we like collecting stuff and like holding on to it. And we have a hard time just parting with our items. I noticed that with myself. And have you ever heard of like minimalism?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So would you agree that like staging is more, not, because I guess there's different levels of minimalism, right? But would you agree that staging, you know, you're more taking on what do I need and leaving it in the home, and what do I don't need and taking those items out? Would you agree with that?
Yes. That's a very good comment, Aaron, that in fact, a rule of thumb with just your life from my experience and also what I've studied is if, say, for instance, you're going to buy a new pair of shoes, then you have to be prepared to get rid of a pair of shoes, like donate it, pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't too many people in our culture in America, they don't get rid of anything. They buy a new set of dishes. They don't pass on an old set of dishes. They buy more towels, and they don't pass on their towels to, you know, clean but use towels to a homeless shelter that could use them. So, but my word of advice is when you're buying something, be prepared to give something away. So you take in and then you give out. It's a universal law. If you continually take in, then you end up with a really cluttered, crowded space, house, condo, townhome.
And then when it comes time to move, you have so much stuff that you have to go through, right? Which reminds me, I need to go through my closet now.
I do it every season.
Yeah?
I do.
I heard the rule of thumb was if you don't use something after 30 days, then try and part with it if you can.
I think that's a little too soon.
Too soon?
30 days is a lot. I would say if you haven't worn an item in a year or use something in a year, then yes, pass it on.
I guess that makes sense when you have winter clothes or maybe like, I don't know, I'm a guy, so a pair of pants and a polo is great for me.
And in Florida, that would work year round.
Yep, exactly. Okay, so what about some gorgeous artwork or rugs or really things that people find, this is a piece of art, this is something that we feel it looks really nice. What do you say about that?
Aaron, that's another good question. And it depends upon the piece of art. I had a client that has gorgeous, gorgeous art. That's their passion. They collect artwork. But it's too much. So while you're living in your home, of course, you can hang your artwork all over your walls. But when you're ready to move to that next home or that next stage of your life, it's important to take that artwork off the walls and only use certain pieces that are more neutral. Because what happened, I'll give you an example. It was a condo, and this client tried for a year with another agent to sell a beautiful condo. beautiful artwork, beautiful oriental rugs on the floors, covering up gorgeous marble flooring. And so when people would come in to view the condo, all they did is look at the artwork and start discussing who the artist was, and they didn't notice the beautiful wood flooring, and there was a combination of wood and marble flooring, and they didn't notice it because the rugs covered up the flooring. And so when they hired me after that listing expired, they hired me, and I said, well, the first thing you need to do is we need to roll up these rugs so that prospective buyers can see these beautiful wood floors. You can't even see them because of the rugs. And also you need to pack up your family photos and a lot of this art and store it. And I really thought I lost the listing because she said, well, I don't know if I can do that. I'll have to think about it. And literally it was about a month and a half later, she called me and she goes, okay, we're ready to do it. And so they did. They purchased an air-conditioned storage unit, and they rolled up a lot of the rugs, not all of them, but enough to make me happy. And they put the artwork in air-conditioned storage. And we sold that condo in 6 weeks.
Wow.
So that's just a neat story. That's an extreme, but So even expensive, nice art that you would think as a seller, that buyer's going to love this piece. You don't want them to love it too much because they might say, well, I want you to include this $10,000 light fixture, in the sale.
Yeah.
No. Whatever you want to take with you, roll up, take down, move it out.
It was going to be one of my next questions, which you kind of touched on, is do you think that, or do you have it where people maybe get upset that you ask them to depersonalize, declutter, and what do you say to combat some of that? Or to say, if you want to get top dollar for your home, this is what you need to do. Is that kind of just the hard line to where you say, or?
Another good question that you do walk a fine line.
Yeah.
Many agents are afraid to talk to a seller about just that, the staging and the decluttering and putting their items away. The answer is I've been working on it because I have lost a listing in particular because I suggested that they paint their home.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, very bright yellow. And I said, it would really go a long way if you would paint your home. The end color is a certain shade of white or neutral color. And they did not want to do it. And I guess the way I presented it. It's just a fine line. You have to walk through the home, and I start getting an eye and figuring out, you got to pick your battles too.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most important thing for them to do? Well, the most important thing is to get it cleaned and clean up countertops.
Mm-hmm.
In the bathroom, take all of your shampoos and put them under the sink, out of the way. I don't know if you guys have noticed photos where you've got shampoos and deodorants and toothbrushes and dirty towels just kind of laying around. That's simple to do. That doesn't cost anything to just, even if you just take them all off and just shove them underneath just for the photos.
Yeah.
Just to get them out of the photo. That's probably the first item I would tackle with a seller.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go to the next level, which is that chair right here is too big for this space. Maybe we should put it over, try to find area,
right.
Rearrange furniture is my next level. And then taking away would be my third level. But you have to be a lot more diplomatic they are touchy.
Yeah.
Sellers are touchy.
Yeah, I can imagine if you're living in a home for a long time, you know, you really get attached to all those items and it's hard to make the separation, right? Just think, now I'm actually selling this property. I need to prepare it for the next buyer, the next homeowner that's coming in.
Yeah. I'm going to say this too, Aaron. I've used estate sales. Mm-hmm. If it is a home, you mentioned being in a home for a long time. So my older long-term clients, we've had estate sales first.
Right.
And they'll get rid of a lot through an estate sale. That's another option.
That's a good option. So moving on from home staging. The last item that I'd like to talk about is, you know, we touched on this a little bit before the podcast, which is pre-listing inspections. And what are your thoughts overall on pre-listing inspections? You know, tell us what you think pre-listing inspections are really good for.
We did talk about this, Aaron, and I personally feel like it's an important part of my listing presentation, especially for an older home. And the reason is that, especially in this hot market, because the reason is let's say you get 10 offers and you pick one and you don't know any current items that need to be repaired in your home right now. Okay, so then this buyer, you're under contract, they get an inspection, they find all these items wrong with your home. Wouldn't you, as a seller, want to know ahead of time what they're going to find?
Yeah.
And whether or not you're willing to fix it? I would.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So for just a few $100 of cost to the seller to get this inspection done, you're going to know what you're willing to fix and what you can disclose ahead of time, because full disclosure. Mm-hmm. It's very, very important to also have full disclosure. That's why they call it a seller's property disclosure. Full disclosure on the items that potentially are wrong with the home and that you're not going to fix.
Right.
And that way it rectifies that obstacle where the buyer may cancel, because on an as-is contract, the buyer has the right to cancel for any reason.
Yeah. I mean, for example, you just think about the amount of time that you can save if you have that pre-listing inspection. You save somebody from canceling.
Exactly. Right?
I mean, what is that, like two, three weeks that you just wasted? Because
a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you can just change that just with the pre-listing inspection, ordering that ahead of time. So that's a really great point. Well, pretty much concluding here, did you have any other final thoughts for us? Or
just remember that first impressions are key, that you only get one shot at making that first impression. You only get one shot at making that your home a wow. So go ahead and do the preparation work to it. That would be my takeaway, or my one last comment.
Yeah, that's a great takeaway. One shot. Yeah, it's a great takeaway. You've had some awesome insights. Liz has been absolutely kicking butt out there in real estate. I've seen your Instagram posts, and the amount of properties that you're able to sell is really amazing. So where can people find you if they want to get in touch with you?
In St. Petersburg, Florida. My office is right downtown. On Beach Drive, 238 Beach Drive. And also have one out on Tierra Verde for those of you that live on our beautiful island of Tierra Verde. And my website is lizheinkel.com. How easy is that?
That's pretty easy. Well, I'll link all of Liz's information down below in the description, or if you're on the blog, it'll be there as well. But thank you so much for coming out and sharing your insights with us.
You're welcome.
It's really great.
Yeah. It's been fun. Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah, of course.